enough. We were talking about the issue of elders and workmen, you know, actually people getting involved in the ministry. But I want to welcome you guys in here. And like I was saying earlier, I guess it works here. Oh, you have to do no more marble on the keyboard. Just left click on the microphone icon and you're locked in there for a while. But anyway, we're fast-forwarding from the book of Samuel. We spent a lot of time there in the Gospel of the Circumcision to identify the components that were being set. If you think about it, we started off talking about circumcision and the covenants given to Israel. We talked about Noah. We talked about Abraham and his covenant. And we went on to David. We didn't talk about the Davidic covenant, but we talked about some of the issues as God was putting in place his form of government there upon the earth, and also some of those types and shadows as we came up through parts of the Old Testament and dealt with Israel and talked about the judgment of it. So today we're going to talk about some issues here, considering some things that differ. That's always an interesting topic. There were some other people who were always challenging us about, well, I don't think the Bible says this about Peter and Paul's gospel or Christ's earthly ministry. So we wanted to invite them in, and we see that they're not here, so that's not surprising. I think that they would rather debate the word instead of have some patience to search the scriptures and see if those things be so. And that's a sad thing that we see here today. But anyway, we're here to study God's Word, God's way, according to 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. And also, as usual, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 9 and 10, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Okay, so I don't know who's posting tonight, but we're going to continue on here. Someone would, I don't know if Brother stands away or if he's recording. If not, someone would step in and post the scriptures for us. We're going to look at some things here, things that differ, and we're going to take not so many verses to show in context all the things that differ, but we're going to take a few things from Israel's program, from the circumcision, and then we're going to show very clearly what is to us here in this present dispensation. We're going to look at things that are spoken of in the law and things that are spoken about in the dispensation of grace. And we're going to look at those instructions so that we can have a clear understanding of what God is doing today. And to keep with the scripture, the title bar here, we're going to first look at Galatians 2 and verses 7 through 9 and Romans chapter 6 and verse 14. Galatians chapter 2, verses 7 through 9 tells us, but contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the circumcision was committed unto me, the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. For he that wrought effectively in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. And thank you there, Mystery Saint, for posting. So, Romans 6 and verse 14. Romans 6 and verse 14 is a very key issue here as Paul delivers in his gospel, the gospel of the grace of God. He says, Romans chapter 6, and let's look at verse 14. You guys should be very familiar with this. Romans 6 and 14 says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace." And we're going to look at some of those issues a little later. That is a big important part of showing the things that differ. But first here, we want to just say here, without going back to those Old Testament scriptures, because we're going to spend a lot of time here in Paul's letters here to refresh everyone, if necessary, concerning the things that are to us today. And when we look here, we understand that Israel was under covenant relationship, under a covenant relationship with God. So they had those issues. They had guardian angels. They had the covenant. They could pray the prayer of Jabez. They could do all those wonderful things. They could pray to God about their needs. What does God tell us today here in the dispensation of the grace of God? It's very interesting that we get a clear understanding about that. Now, issue one here, we don't have the guardian angels flying around protecting us and girding us up. But what God tells us is contained there in Ephesians chapter 6, for starters. Let's look there. Issue 1, as the McLaughlin group used to look at these things. Issue 1 here, we'll go to Ephesians chapter 6, and let's go here and start at verse 11. Verse 11, and we're going to read down to verse 18. Okay, Ephesians 6, starting at verse 11, going down to verse 18. It says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devils. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand therefore having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparations of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Now, that differs from Israel's program. Now, let's look at the issue here. A couple of scriptures we can post up here. I don't see the screen moving. Oh, yeah, we got the scriptures. Good. Ephesians chapter 1 tells us here, and verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Someone needs to explain that one to the charismatics. Okay? They're always praying for those things. They need a blessing. God has told us there in Ephesians chapter 1, we have all spiritual blessings. Okay? Now, let us move on here, and please, no spamming of the text. Also, what we want to do here, we want to continue on. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, looking at some issues in our prayer pattern, in the Pauline prayer pattern. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. Familiar verses to some of you and maybe unfamiliar to others, but let's start here at verse 16. Let's start at verse 14. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. Real quickly here. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. "For this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Verse 21, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, worlds without end. Okay? And let's go to a familiar chapter here. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, and let's pick it up here in verse 4. Okay? Philippians chapter 4, and let's pick it up at verse 4 and read down to verse 7. Okay? Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderations be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind through Jesus Christ. Okay? Interesting here. We see those issues that flare up. And Paul, there in 2 Corinthians and chapter 12. Paul in 2 Corinthians in chapter 12. And we're going to read down here verses 9 and 10. Okay? 2 Corinthians in chapter 12 and verses 9 through 10. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. More gladly, therefore, would I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Okay? So, how do we wrap this issue up here? Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And let's start here at verse 1. And let's read down here. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. And let's read down real quickly here to verse 5. Okay? Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherewith we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulations work of patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Okay? Now, by looking at all of those things we just looked at there in issue 1, we ought to have a clear understanding here. We don't see the covenant relationship. We don't see the prayer of Jabez. We don't see the guardian angels hovering over us. We don't see the high priest going in there or the prophet speaking against our enemies. We don't see the king today going out and defeating those who are persecuting us. But we see here some real sound doctrine on the Pauline doctrine that is for us today. Okay? We see those things. Remember, no covenant relationship. So those prayers about this, that, and the other thing about your home, your situation. God wants us to work through those things. God wants us to have the ability to gain peace, even if we go through those trials and tribulations. Some of us may not go through a time when we've lost a job or that someone's ill and things of that nature. So many times the charismatic movement and some others, they rely on so many of these things that are not to them. They go to God. They may be biblically, but they go to God with somebody else's program. They go with some information that's been sent out to someone else instead of the information for us in this present dispensation. And that's what we want to do tonight, is clarify some of these issues. Okay, let's move on to issue 2, and let's go to Matthew chapter 6, okay? Issue number 2 here, we're going to look at some things concerning forgiveness, okay? issue number two, we're going to look at forgiveness. So let's look here at Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. Okay, turn with me, please. At Matthew chapter 6, voice is going already, and verses 14 and 15. Okay, says here, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Okay? Now, that seems to be under the covenant relationship. Let's go here to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 13. Colossians chapter 2. Turn with me, please, and let's look at verse 13. Colossians 2 and verse 13 says, "And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, has he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses." Okay? Let's also look here at Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, and let's look at verse 13 and 14. Colossians 1, verses 13 and 14 says, "Who has delivered us from the powers of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Okay? Now, let's go to Colossians chapter 3 and Colossians 3 verses 12 and 13. Colossians 3 verses 12 and 13. It says, "Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man has a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." Okay? And also, let's go to the book of Ephesians. And let's start here at Ephesians chapter 1. And let's look here at verse 7. Ephesians 1 and 7 says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." And last but not least, let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. Ephesians 4 and 32. And "be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you." Okay? Issue number two here, we see very clearly in the scriptures. We see the covenant relationship there in the book of Matthew, in Matthew chapter 6. We see the conditions that are being put forth that they must forgive others so that they will be forgiven. Okay? Now, we saw in Paul's letters the issue that we've been forgiven all our sins and trespasses. Okay? All our sins and trespasses, not conditional, not based upon us forgiving others. These are things that differ, and we should consider these differences. Let's go forward here in the canon of Scripture, and let's look at 1 John. 1 John, a lot of people like to pull that out. 1 John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 1, and we're going to look at verse 9. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Now, a lot of times people use that verse in lieu of saying, well, those of you without sin, and Christ didn't die for them all, but they may admit that Christ died for all our sins, But then they're going to put some stipulation on you. Well, if you don't confess those sins, they're not forgiven. But what does Colossians 2 and 13 says? We've been forgiven all our sins and trespasses. So it's very important that we continue to rightly divide the word of truth so that we can get a clear understanding of what God is doing in this present dispensation. Okay? Now, let's move ahead here to issue number 3. Okay? Issue number 3, we're going to be talking about righteousness and the law. Okay? Righteousness and the law. Okay? Now, let's look. We're going to go back here to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. And let's look at verses 17 through 20. That's Matthew chapter 5 and verses 17 through 20. Okay? Matthew chapter 5 and verse 17 says, "Think not I have come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth one jot or one tittle shall not wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled." "Wherefore therefore shall break one of the least commandments, and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." Now, the issue here that we see in Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 through 20, is first we see the kingdom that's being offered to the nation Israel. Then we see the righteousness being illustrated, that it must exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. Also, we see here that the law is in place, that was the function. Their righteousness was seen through the law, okay, through keeping the law, through those works of the law. But now, here, when we look at Paul's letters, we see something that differ. We see things as Paul lays them out for us. Now, you can post also, once again, Romans chapter 6 and verse 14 to start it off here. Paul tells us in Romans 6 and verse 14, and he says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Will not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace." Now, is that what the red letters are showing us there in Matthew chapter 5? To be honest with the scriptures, we must admit that there are some things that differ. Let's go real quick. Let's stay in the book of Matthew, and let's go to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. And let's look first at post verse 4, Matthew 10 and verse 4, and then we're going to go at the end of Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 10 and verse 4. "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." Okay? That's Romans chapter 10 and verse 4. Okay? Now, in Romans chapter 9, and we're going to pick it up at verse 31, Paul describes here, tells us about what happened to Israel, and note here how the illustration of their righteousness and how they didn't seek it by faith. Let's pick it up here in Romans chapter 9, and verse 31 to 33. Says, "But Israel, which follow after the law of righteousness, have not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at the stumbling stone, as it is written, Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Okay? And Romans chapter 10, verses 1, 2, and 3. Okay? Romans 10, verses 1, 2, and 3. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Now, Paul also, early in the chapter there of Romans 9, verse 4, he says, Who are the Israelites? To whom pertain the adoption and the glory and the covenant and the giving of the law and the services of God and the promises? Okay? That's Romans chapter 9, verse 4. Verse 5, Who are the fathers of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God bless forever. Amen. Okay? Now, when we look here, we see that they were the ones that were under the covenant, under the law. They had been given the promises. Okay? Who were the fathers of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came. Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15 and verse 8. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. Well, we're establishing the fact here that Israel was under the law. Israel was under covenant relationship, and Christ came to them in his earthly ministry. Okay? Paul also tells us in Romans chapter 15, verse 4, Romans 15 and 4, because we can read about these things, we often get accused, oh, you guys just stay in Romans 2, Philemon, and that's it. Well, Romans 15, 4 says, For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Some people, they want to say, well, look, I want to mimic the life of Christ. I want to pick up my cross and follow Him. Everything that Christ did, then I want to do it because Christ did it. And now, since I have the Holy Spirit, I want to do it also. Well, that's not what the Bible is telling us to do today. Those are not the instructions for us in this present dispensation. First of all, we're established we're not under the law, but under grace. And let's go here. Turn with me, please, to Romans chapter 3, which ought to give us some good information based upon these things. And we're going to look at Romans and Galatians here. Romans and Galatians here, but let's go to Romans chapter 3 and let's pick it up here in verse 19 through 24. Romans chapter 3, starting at verse 19, going down to verse 24. It says, Now we know that whatsoever things the law said it, it said it to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. When we look at this passage, we see that those were under the law, that they were found guilty by the law, that they still needed a Savior. Galatians chapter 4, it talks about that. We'll look there in a minute. But they still needed a Savior. Now, God talks established His righteousness apart from the law. Says here, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Okay? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Okay? The law showed them guilty. All of those that were under the law, it showed them guilty that they needed a Savior. It showed them all. Now, God is manifesting His righteousness without the law, apart from the law. Not mixing the law in there and saying, okay, guys, you can do it because you believe on Yeshua for our Jewish brethren out there. You've been calling on Yahweh, so you can do it now. You can keep it. The others were just stiff-necked, but now you have the Spirit of God in you. Why don't you keep it? Well, Galatians tells us that you put yourself back under the curse. Real quickly, let's drop by the book of Galatians. We can spend a lot of time there concerning the issue of the law and grace. This is probably going to be a lot of the meaty part of our study here. But we need to establish that fact. Let's go first to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. And let's start here at verse 4. And let's look at verse 4 and 5. Okay? And you can hold the commentary until after the study. Okay? Galatians 4 and verse 4 and 5. But when the fullness of times will come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. They needed redemption. Even those that were under the law, they could not stand before God with their righteousness because the law judged them all guilty. Let's go to Galatians chapter 3, and let's pick it up here in verse 22. Okay? Now, Galatians 3 and verse 22, and we're going to go down to verse 29. Okay? Paul says here, but the Scriptures has concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Now note here, it says the Scriptures has concluded all under sin. Every single one of us. All of us. Those under the law, those without law. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up into the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. And that's an issue we want to bring up here. Our justification is by faith. Okay? But after that faith has come, we're no longer under a schoolmaster. A lot of times people want to keep you in that bondage of the schoolmaster instead of the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Okay? For ye are all children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Note, it didn't say by keeping the law, by observing the holy days, but by faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. In verse 29, and if ye be Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Okay? We're not under the schoolmaster. And note here, it says there's neither Jew nor Greek. Okay? Let's wrestle with that point a minute. So you don't become a Jew, and a Jew doesn't become a Greek. We become a new creature in Christ. Ephesians chapter 2 describes the body of Christ as the one new man of twain. The new creature. So you don't put on Christ here, get baptized into Christ, and say, well, here I go, I want to join my Jewish heritage. No, it didn't say that. That's one danger of some of the messianic groups out there. when a person believes in Yeshua, or our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then they want to take them back and introduce them to the law. They want to take them back, thank you, Mystery Saint, and they want to introduce them to all the feast days and think that they were missing something. Well, Colossians 2:10 says we are complete in Him, which is the head of all principalities and powers. I think I'll take that instead of the Messianics' completeness. No offense to them. But they want to convert many of the people into Judaism. And the scriptures just doesn't bear that out. Matter of fact, we're going to look at a few of those scriptures also in our identification through this study. But they want to identify themselves. Now, back to the topic. So we're not under the schoolmaster. God has manifested His righteousness without the law. So what is it that teaches a believer today? Where do we get these instructions today? Titus chapter 2, verse 11 and 12 tells us, if we want to look to the scriptures, that we're not lawless vipers, that we don't have this license to sin. Titus 2 says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Our motivation is the grace of God. Grace teaches us. That's why it's so very important when we looked at those studies previously, we feel the Spirit. Amen, songbirds. Grace teaches us today. We're not under that old schoolmaster. Let's go back to the book of Galatians and look at some scriptures here. Okay? And our justification is in Christ Jesus. And let's go down the list here. Paul, addressing the Galatians, there in Galatians chapter 3. And let's go here, Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. He says, O foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you, that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ have been evidently set forth crucified among you. This only would I learn of you, receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith. The Bible teaches by the hearing of faith. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministered to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, do he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? The scriptures say faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. You know, in the book of Galatians also, in Galatians chapter 6, let's look at a passage here, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 13. Note here, circumcision under the law, Galatians 6 and 13. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have ye circumcised, that ye may glory in your flesh. Wow. Think about that, folks, when you go to the synagogue. They may not circumcise you, but there's going to be a lot of other issues that they're going to bring up. And don't get me wrong, I'm not picking on them. But I am trying to lay the foundation here so we could get a clear understanding of what where our instructions come today. Now, glorying in the flesh. Galatians 6:13. Let's head on over here to Philippians 3 with the Apostle Paul. And let's pick it up here and let's look at Philippians chapter 3. And let's start here at verse 1. He says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the conscience. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Jesus Christ and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he has whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more." Paul said he had gloried in the flesh. He had confidence in his flesh. He was a Pharisee. Verse 5. "Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee." Paul tells you right there, I gloried in the flesh. "Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is of the law, blameless." Paul waved his hand. Blameless, folks. "But what things were gained to me, those I count loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss, for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. And being found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Jesus Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." Now, Paul recognized that the righteousness of God was being manifest there back in Romans chapter 3 without the law, apart from the law. He recognized that righteousness that he had. He stumbled at the stumbling stone also. Paul, raise your hand. Paul stumbled. Paul was right there. Anybody was preaching Jesus Christ when Paul was a Pharisee, let's get them, boys. Get the stones out. He was there at the stoning of Stephen. He had letters from the Sanhedrin and everywhere else to go out and do whatever, to destroy them, to lock them up. Paul gloried in the flesh. Paul says, oh no. He was almost like Peter there in Acts chapter 10. "No, Lord, I have never eaten anything uncommon or unclean, Lord. I keep the law." He was almost like those ones there in Jerusalem, there with James in Acts chapter 21. Let's look at them real quick. Acts chapter 21 and verse 17. Acts chapter 21 and verse 17 and through verse 20. "And when they were come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly, and the day following Paul went up with us unto James, and all the elders were present. And when they had saluted them, he declared particularly what things God had wrought amongst the Gentiles by his ministry." And verse 20. "And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord and said unto him, Thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are which believe, and they are all zealous of the law." My, my. You mean after Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit fell upon those in Jerusalem, that they didn't get the message that it was law and grace, that grace was coming in here? You know, some people grab that scripture out of John chapter 1, and they say, well, there you go, the dispensation of grace with the coming of Christ. Let's look at that scripture real quick, just to show. It says, John chapter 1 and verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelled among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Guys, I tell you, I've heard some Bible scholars right here on Pal Talk and out in my community that when we get to talking about Paul and his ministry and the dispensation of the grace of God, that they would go there to John chapter 1 and say that, hey, there you go, there's the dispensation of grace that came in there. John knew it. Well, my goodness. Did John preach Christ according to the revelation of the mystery? I mean, I'd like to see some more scriptures. I mean, that says, speaking of the Word which was made flesh and dwelled among us, full of grace and truth. But did he say that this was the dispensation of the grace of God? Did John start preaching Christ according to the revelation of the mystery? No, he was preaching Christ according to prophecy. Romans 15 and verse 25. Romans 16 and verse 25. Now to him that is the power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. Of course, Acts chapter 3 and verse 21. Acts chapter 3 and verse 21. You can rub that verse right with it. It says, let's pick it up in context. Let's pick it up in verse 19. 19 to 21. Acts chapter 3, verse 19 to 21. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and He shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all His holy prophets since the world began. Here we go, another difference here. We didn't list that as one of our issues. We definitely have it there. That's the difference there. One preaching according to prophecy since the world began, and Paul preaching Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, things that were kept secret since the world began, but now is being revealed. So, based on what we just looked at here in the past few minutes here, we see that John didn't preach Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. We see that Peter wasn't preaching Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. We see that the Apostle Paul was preaching Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. And we need to denote the things that differ in the ministry so that we can understand those things clearly. And when scriptures come up, when we have some scriptures there, and the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and early Acts, we can identify that to Israel. When we have some verses there in Paul's ministry after Acts chapter 9, we can identify in Romans 2, Philemon, that is information addressing the church, the body of Christ, you and I, in the present dispensation of the grace of God. And Hebrews through Revelation, we can understand that is for ages to come, for Israel, during the times of great tribulation. That is doctrine for them. As we used to hear earlier in the Grace Fellowship areas, that is not your mail. They say, leave that mail alone. Don't mess with someone else's mailbox. And even if you read it, even if it was tipped open, if it was a flyer to you that was out there, read it, understand it, but don't apply that doctrine to you. Of course Christ said there, even though he was a sacrifice that we understand through Paul's ministry, but he told them there in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, keep the commandments. Those that sit in Moses' seat, do what they say. Keep the commandments. What did he tell the rich young ruler? In Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19, and let's pick it up here, and Matthew chapter 19, let's pick it up here in verse 16, folks. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good Master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. But if thou would enter into life, keep the commandments. Now, do we see that in Paul's epistles? No. Verse 18. He said unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Well, the rich young ruler in verse 20 didn't have a problem with that. The young man said unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up, what lacketh I yet? Now, here's an instruction here. Jesus said to him, Now, tell these people that follow the red letters that's under the apostles' doctrine. Jesus said unto him, If thou would be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven, and come and follow me. All right, pack your bags, get a boat or get a plane, and head over to Jerusalem, sell everything, keep the law, and go and follow him. Think about that. Are we to go over to Jerusalem today and walk through that battlefield? Are we to go over there today and put on this velour like we're following Christ today in Matthew chapter 19? Or are we to acknowledge today that we follow Christ through the doctrine that is to us today? Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and this is what I call one of the fist fighting verses, because you go there and you post this verse up in another room and they'll fight you. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. And even verse 2 will get you a good left hook. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I deliver them unto you. You mean, what do you say, Paul? We don't need to go back to Leviticus and Exodus and Deuteronomy and just, put the Torah inside here and do all of that? Paul, why are you telling us that we need to keep the ordinances as he delivered them unto you? That's another point, folks, that we can look at. Back to Philippians chapter 3. Back to Philippians chapter 3. And Paul tells us in verse 17 here, he says, Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. And in verse 18, For many walk of whom I've told you often, and now tell you even weepingly, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. First Timothy chapter 1 and verse 16. Mark these down now. Howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ may show all long suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Okay? Jesus Christ has given us the pattern today so that we won't have to take that plane trip to Jerusalem. He's given us the pattern today through the Scriptures, through His Spirit, that we can understand who we are today in the dispensation of the grace of God. And He identifies us and He tells us who we are in this present dispensation. Let's close here with 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 to 21. 2 Corinthians 5, chapter 17 to 21. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That new creature in Christ. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he has made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Know who you are today. You're not taking up your cross today over in Jerusalem and tracing Christ's footsteps. You're an ambassador here wherever you are. Maybe some in Jerusalem. But you're an ambassador for Christ. You're in Christ's stead today. You're a good soldier. You're a workman, as 2 Timothy chapter 2:15 says. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You're a workman today in this present dispensation. You're ambassadors today in this present dispensation. You're in Christ's stead today in this present dispensation. Understand, recognize who you are, identify yourself with Christ today, and to be in His will, and to give thanks for what Christ has done for you. Let us close in prayer, and what we're going to do here, we're going to continue this, and we have some interesting nuggets in the next few weeks, and looking at some of these differences to consider, and some of the things that differ. We all have looked at some of those interesting preachings and teachings, but we're going to look at a lot of those things, and hopefully we can develop a nice long list where for some of the saints here for equipping the saints, that they can just look there when someone comes and they say, well, I'm under this, I follow the whole canon of scriptures, I follow the whole Bible, or I follow what Jesus says. Well, we can just pull out the list and we can say, okay folks, let's see what happens. Let us close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the assembly tonight. We thank you for your word rightly divided. We thank you that we can be edified by your word, that we can understand who we are in Christ today. We can understand and give you all the glory and honor and all the praise, and not ourselves. That we would not try to puff ourselves up or to be found our righteousness outside of Jesus Christ. That we would acknowledge Him in all our doings, and acknowledge Him for all that He has done for us, and to thank Him for the spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and for dying for us on Calvary's cross and shedding His blood for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen again. All right, folks, I want to thank you for putting up with me for this hour. I'm really looking forward to really getting into more issues in this study. When I started doing it a couple weeks ago, I couldn't wait to get it. That's why I put the First Samuel passages. I put the First Samuel passages there with going into King David's ministry on hold for a while because I wanted to get into this. There were so many things that we were going to look at and we can look at, and hopefully you guys will be with me throughout the bulk of this study so that we can have a lot of this good information and look at some of the things there. I found out so much that when people come in, that we don't really, we know a lot of the high points there, but a lot of people don't really study the four Gospels. They don't really look dig down deep there like they should. When you confront them with some of these passages, then they go ahead and start name calling instead of looking at the context of it. And when you show the things that differ, that they don't have a clue. So this is what we wanted to do, and I hope you guys enjoyed that. And I hope you guys, I didn't mispronounce too many words tonight. But anyway, let's open up the text and let's open up the mic. And if you guys got any questions concerning the study, raise your hand. We'll take it one at a time. And we'll do things decently and in order. And if no questions, we'll go into open discussion. Okay? And thank you, folks, because without you, I wouldn't study as much. I don't really say that, but I do study even more because I'm bringing messages here. But because of the message, I study even more. And a lot of times I look at some of the topics that I would probably just brush by. But because I share it here on the net here with you guys in the room, I look at a lot of issues that you guys talk about, a lot of things that I hear, and so therefore we bring them up. Okay, but anyway, let's open up the text, and I'll see if I can click off this mic here. Okay, that mic worked okay. I don't think I broke up much, and thank you guys there, and I want to say welcome and grace and peace to all that came into the room there while the study was going on. And if you guys got any questions or any topic you want to talk about, we can take questions first, and then we can move on to open discussion. All right, and guys, stay tuned for Brother Richard Church there. I don't know if he's still in the room or if he got bumped off, but he'll be here for the 9 o'clock study. I know Pal Talk today was offline for quite a while. The servers were getting really, really, really hacked up there. So it was quite interesting getting here, but we got here at about 6 o'clock. And so what do you say? Let's see, Brother Art has a question there. Let's see. That's a good question. Preacher 10 there asks Brother Art Johnson, why is it wrong to think of ourselves as spiritual Jews or spiritual Israel? We addressed part of that, and we're going to address that issue a little bit more in our study, but to me it's the Galatians 3 issue that when we look at the church, the body of Christ, and there is no Jew and there is no Gentile, the Ephesians 2 issue that we become one in Christ, not one becoming another. Or we don't become Jews, we are new creatures in Christ. We are the one new man of twain. The Jews don't become Gentiles, and Gentiles don't become Jews. Our identification is in Christ and the body of Christ. And a lot of people, though, they think because they're in Christ, we were talking about that issue earlier a bit, about they think that they become spiritual Jews and they think that they put themselves in a covenant relationship with God. But I don't see any covenant relationship in this dispensation of the grace of God. I don't see us being under, and I'm sure you guys have heard people say, well, I'm under the blood covenant of Christ now, so whatever Israel has, I have now, and all the blessings of Abraham, and all the blessings, because Abraham was of the circumcision, but we identify with Abraham before the circumcision. You know, that's why when we talk about the issue of faith in the dispensation of the grace of God, we'll understand our identification with Father Abraham and the imputed righteousness that's given to us. We had to cut this study short tonight based upon those issues, but there is no Jew or Greek, no barbarian, Colossians chapter 3 tells us. Colossians chapter 3 and Colossians 3 and verse 11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. Okay?